Now, Alex Seaton is a multidisciplinary artist working in sculpture, photography, video and installation, and he's best known for his use of marble carving. He has this skillful ability to carve fabric likeness into blocks of stone. His work has been exhibited in India, London, and Beijing, and has been acquired by major galleries and collectors around the world. You can check out his website or his Instagram page. They're both Alex A-E-A-L-E-X. Seaton, S-E-T-O-N, and then it's underscore for his Instagram. But as always, we will link all of this to the show notes on the podcast. Alex, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Ah, thank you, Wilhelmina.
And so you were saying you're in your studio and you've got a little bit of a cough, but that's all right because there's no one else in the studio, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's right. The woke up this morning with some runny nose and things and quickly to the government health check. And was like, oh, no, nothing to be worried about.
I'm fine.
Regular cold.
So how did you get into this line of work or this passion?
That's a pretty good question. I think I always knew I wanted to be an artist. I think I was pestering relatives as soon as I knew, had found out what the role was. It just, I don't know, captured my imagination as a little one. We grew up around Wombeyan Cave Quarry, which produces a beautiful marble. And my dad presented me with my first hammer and chisel when I was 8.
Oh, that's awesome, Dad.
Well, he didn't want me to destroy all of his wood chisels on the stone. He's like, I think you better have your own.
That is awesome.
But I don't think it was ever something that, you know, you project outwards.
Yeah.
I've always interested in everything. I was always a pretty enthusiastic kid. I wouldn't dream of it. It was only after art college, after doing lots of performance and video and that sort of thing, that I realized, oh, there's a sort of material expression, the object being able to be proxy for me and the things I was trying to think of. And I just sort of fell in love with sculpture later.
Yeah. You have, I've looked over your work over the years, and there's at times a sort of almost political or a deeper meaning in the message other than it just being a beautiful piece of work. Where does that come from? Where does that interest come from?
I think I was raised by a family that was always pretty politically active. I think some of the first artworks, if you can call them that, were Greenpeace protest signs I was producing with my mum and dad. But as in, I always thought that you could put aesthetics, you know, whatever it is you were choosing to make, to some sort of greater purpose. But I think that's a combination of many other influences as well. All my early work is incredibly showy, skill-based, and light-hearted, anecdotal, autobiographical kind of me really sort of telling the story around me. Then I was very much influenced by a Chinese-Australian artist called Guo Zhen. He came out here after Tiananmen Square in the early 90s. Like one of the first out, actually, as one of the protesters. And he's made a career in Australia being really politically active and criticising Chinese government from a distance. And he went back to China recently. But we became friends in the early 2000s, and he you know, we would argue politics till the morning, and he would be like, put it in your work. I don't see it in your work.
Yeah,
put it
right.
in your work. And I thought, wait, he's right. He's totally right.
Yeah, very cool. And so I posted a picture of a life jacket this morning that you had done for an exhibition. How long does a piece like that, say, take to complete?
How long does it take? How long is a piece of string, really?
I know, right?
Only because every single block of stone is different. It depends on the level of complexity of the object that I've chosen as my subject. I love the idea of choosing just one object, and I really do like the familiar, so something that you would recognize, not particularly abstract artist in the visual sense, but something that represents that concept, and choosing that so that you might project yourself, say, into that life jacket. What would it be to wear it? What would it be to literally put yourself in that person's shoes? So that life jacket itself, I think, maybe took a month.
Oh, wow.
It does require a lot of, you know, exacting technique.
Yeah.
But it's about storytelling to a point where you can feel the material, but also feel the contradiction of that as well.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Let's get into the profile piece for you. So, can you remember the first piece you sold?
Ooh. Yes, I can. It was pretty bad.
What was it? Who bought it? Okay. Can you remember those details?
Yeah. It was I think the very first piece I sold was to my very first boss. I walked into an art gallery one day in our town, and it was the Angelo Fine Art Gallery, and a lovely American fellow there working behind the desk. And I went up and said, oh, can I get a job in your gallery? And he says, oh, yeah, and he grilled me about what my interests were, me as an artist. And I said, hey, I just finished a sculpture. Let me go and get it. And I was thinking it was based upon something I'd seen at the Australian Ballet with some friends, and just a very dramatic pose of sort of devil and angel locked together. It was all incredibly figurative, incredibly tacky, I feel, now. But I pulled it out, showed it to him. He's like, oh, I love it. Give you $200 for it.
That is awesome.
Must have been 16 and pretty pleased.
Yeah, absolutely, right? What did you think you would be when you were 5?
Sorry, say that again?
What did you think you would be when you were 5?
I think I only started saying I was going to be an artist with great determination when I was 8. But believe it or not, I did say I wanted to be a ballet dancer when I was 5.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Always creative. Always had that creative bent.
Absolutely.
When did you start calling yourself an artist?
I think after college. One of the things when you're confronted, particularly coming from the countryside, confronted by the big city, and all the things that you are absolutely aware that you do not know, and so many extraordinary things you see in art history books that people have made, that artists throughout history have made, you realize, ooh, you're a long way to go to earn that mantle. So I think it was only upon really, with great pride, I mean, I was telling everyone that's what I wanted to be, the day I could actually call it myself. I think it was my first solo show in Hawksville Wicks Gallery in Paddington in 2004.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It wasn't until I was like 24, 25.
Yep, perfect. It seems the solo exhibition or the trip overseas where you have to fill in the card seems to be the catalyst for people about when they call themselves an artist. Who are the artists you admire?
There's actually plenty of Australian artists that I really admire. Now, there are some incredible international artists and historical ones at that. I was actually influenced by my mum's books on ancient Egyptian sculpture. My mum's from Cairo.
Oh, and, cool.
There were some of the earliest influences there. But cut to post-art college, I love the work of the Swiss artist Knott Zweitel. He's a really interesting, compelling artist who speaks personally and politically. Beautiful sense of materials. But if you cut to Australia, artists like Tim Silver, Angela Tiatia, Carolyn Rothwell. These are artists who are working right now who are doing extraordinary things and just really great perspective on things and beautiful expression in their materials. And obviously, I'm listing people who work with sculpture, sculpture and video. That's the kind of materiality that I lean towards. I'm not actually that hot on painting. Then it doesn't move me nearly as much.
Tell us about one of the favourite works you've created.
I think one of my favourite works is actually a far more personal one. It was on loss. The work, I actually had it displayed in the Wynne Prize in 2016. It was a dedication to a friend who was battling unsuccessfully with bowel cancer, and Elizabeth Kaplis, who's an amazing individual and librarian at the National Library, just a bright wit writer, wrote extensively a blog about her cancer and a battle with it and the emotions and feelings, really inspired and compelled many fellow sufferers, and she was extraordinary, and she said, can we just do one work together before I go? And I actually created a little skull on top of using an old convict stone that had these sparrow pecks of pain on the edges, just carved a skull on top of it. And then she was to graffiti. In fact, she wasn't able to get out of bed by the time we were trying to make it. So she charged me with writing, "Dear Death, fuck right off, love Liz."
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And I just will always love that work.
Treasure that. Yeah, absolutely. What do you do to get out of a creative funk?
Ooh, believe it or not, get straight back into the studio. Just make. The more I make, the more I come up with the new, better idea. Otherwise, and once every sort of 4 or 5 years when I'm really tired, I make sure I go and sequester myself away for a couple of months on an artist residency or something like that, where I could just get a bit of perspective from daily life and think about creatively where I go next. For instance, I had won the Mordant Fellowship in Rome. I was meant to be there on the 1st of April, but obviously for very obvious reasons,
oh,
I can't
wow.
go to Italy anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that's all right. I'll find a nice spot in which I might go actually out to Hill End and sit there for a little while and design and draw for the next couple of months.
Yeah. Who would you say is your biggest...
point?
Yeah, I was going to say the isolation of that point is a very absolutely sensible and probably very calming at this point.
Absolutely.
Who would you say is your biggest fan?
Is my biggest fan?
Yeah.
Oh, Mum, 100%.
Yay, go Mum.
Mum.
Who was your biggest critic?
I reckon biggest critic is probably Dad,
He's
in the best possible way. Like, he's really, yeah, I get it, but where's the poetry?
Oh.
he's really good at pointing out some things within a work. I'm very lucky to have parents who I both admire their opinions of them, what they think of the pieces.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And lastly, what are you working on at the moment?
Currently working on a commission that I'd been approached some years ago. I had made a series of works on the Australian flag and the nature of the flag as a symbol that is incredibly loaded. So many different projections of people's cultural identity, etc. And I had made the body of a young boy under a cloth in a sort of classic shroud scenario carved out of Australian marble, except on display at the Art Gallery of South Australia in their permanent collection. And the collector had been pestering me for years. I'd love to get a full-size adult. I'm staying away from a lot of the shrouds of deaths and things like that. But I've been compelled and inspired, actually just woke up one day with the right idea. It's about the idea of who am I, when am I, when I'm asleep. So a sleeping, resting figure of myself under that cloth.
Oh, wow.
And it's life-size. And it's taking up many an hour right now.
And where do you, this is just a side note, do you have a particular place where you source your marble from that you know they do the best marble, or does it kind of depend on the project?
Oh, there's definitely some classics. I mean, you know, as in trusted sources, the classic Carrara marble and from Northern Italy is very reliable and quite beautiful, and it behaves really well as a carving material. But I personally still love the first marble I've ever carved, which is the Wombeyant marble the Southern Tablelands of New South Wales.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Oh.
It has a beautiful linen colour, Canvarian grade and grit, but it's just a beautiful warm colour. And it, of course, it ends up looking like nothing else. We're not used to seeing statuary made in that work, in that material.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking through some of your work this morning, and the dropped towel kind of looking pieces that you have created, they are just, I can imagine people want to touch them to see like if they are or aren't, you know, marble or if they are indeed fabric, because they are, the detail in them and the look of them is just so beautiful. Alex, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wilhelmina.
It was great chatting with you, and all the best with getting out to Hill End.
Will, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.